show 124 of the 1420 Sports Podcast. Four beer with a sports talk and a whole lot more. We're back here at the homeland of Fort McLeod, Alberta, in Mom and Dad's backyard. You got the whole fam family here. Got a lot to going on. Thank you, Jim and Craig, for the musical interlude. McKinley's here. She's teed up to talk about the women's Olympic gold medal game. We got Deanne's back here, the producer. Elaine's back here. We're going to talk. She's going to join in. Craig's going to talk about the Gretzky trade that happened 33 years ago today. Elaine's going to, and Mom's here to, her wisdom and knowledge about all things that we're getting wrong. The fact checker, the 1420 Sports Podcast. So tonight, special occasion here. Going to be a good show tonight. Thank you for the music. And, well, as we always say, let's get into her. All right, Jim and Craig. Craig on the mouth organ, harmonica. Next time we do this, you have to bring out the trumpet you got today from for your whatever reason. You got a blue trumpet today, and hope to hear that very soon. Your friend was over here earlier on playing the hustle, which was a bit different on a trumpet side of things. But anyways, Jim, you're a big basketball guy.
Yes, sir.
We won't start with what we're going to start with, the Steph Curry trade, or signing, sorry. Kyle Lowry leaves the Raptors after an illustrious career. He wanted too much money to stay in Toronto. Toronto's in a rebuilding stage after winning a championship just 2 years ago. Was it the right move for the Raptors to to bid adieu, I guess, to Kyle Lowry and move on to something else, or should they have made him a... Given the long-term contract, say you should retire a Raptor.
It was the right move for them to let him go. It's a bummer to see it, but you know, would have been the wrong move to keep him, because after next year, he's gonna start to decline. You'd think.
And at $35 million a year, what are you getting out of that? And the reason why I want to start with the... I'll finish with my Lowry thoughts. I personally think they should have kept him just for... They're not going anywhere, and maybe bringing some new guys in, keep him around. It can't hurt your rookies. It can't hurt your franchise. Did he want to stay there? Who knows? But it gets me into the Steph Curry thing. The exact same thing happened. Steph Curry's won a couple championships, probably should have won more in Golden State. They gave him an awful lot of money for four more years of not winning. And they're not winning. And they gave him, I think it was $45 or $50 million a year for four more. Wouldn't that money have been better spent building up a team that has a chance? Because they're not better than the Clippers. They're not better than the Lakers. They're not better than... Well, the team that won the championship last year, the Milwaukee Bucks, even with Steph Curry, who's an all-time great, he would have got $55 million somewhere else. Why would Golden State sacrifice building another team with a guy that they're not going to win with? That's a lot of money to not win a championship.
Well, you don't know they're not going to win a championship.
I do know.
Oh, do you? Because they were pretty bad last year, but they were also missing their next best player all season with a torn Achilles. Who knows how it's going to be when Klay Thompson comes back? Klay Thompson is a huge game changer.
They're not better than the Milwaukee Bucks. They're not better than the Brooklyn Nets. They're not. They're not.
Who's going to stop Klay Thompson from scoring if he gets hot? Nobody, and he can defend almost anyone in the league. He's going to change things drastically. So no one thought the Raptors were going to win the championship, and they did. You don't know until you get to the finals.
I'm not a huge basketball guy, Jim, but when the Raptors got Kawhi Leonard, experts were saying that they have just increased their chance of winning the NBA championship by 95%.
Yeah, from 5 to 95. Like that.
So one guy, and Leonard was that guy who brought the Raptors to that level. Steph Curry is on the downhill slope, and
it's not.
Is it?
Well, Steph's game he doesn't rely on athleticism the way that a LeBron or a Durant or a Giannis, all these guys are. It's purely skill. He's a guy who's been hot his whole career. steps over half court, he can pull from anywhere, and there's a good to fair chance he's making it.
But $45 million a year on a team that's probably not going to win, is it the franchise's obligation to keep these guys around?
Well, yeah, for sure. You don't let him walk, especially when he's hasn't shown that he's going to be declining. If he had a really off year this past season, then yeah, maybe you think about trying to even talk him down in price. But MVP, he was what, second or third in MVP voting? And
the NBA MVP voting is a farce. It's a whatever. I just think it's a lot of money, and I don't think it's an owner's obligation to keep a guy around because he was a good guy and he's an ambassador for the team, because that's a lot of dough. Yes, the owners make a lot of money from their TV contracts, ticket sales, and everything else, but eventually you do have to move on from these guys, these big contracts. That's a lot of money to not win.
Yeah, but he's going to make you money. No matter what, people are going to come to see Steph Curry. People are going to buy his jerseys. People are going to come to games, home games, away games, all of it. People are going to come to see this guy. Diehard fans are going to come. Casual fans are going to tune in to watch this. It's not like you're...
The leagues are going to make money on Steph Curry regardless where he plays.
Yeah.
The league would be better off if Steph Curry wasn't in Golden State.
Yeah, but he'd be worse off.
If he moved to a... Wouldn't he be... He's going to get $45 million anywhere.
No, I mean Golden State. Like, the owners are going to be worse off if they lose this guy.
I don't know. I just find it odd. These kids make a lot of dough playing basketball, and the way they make these super teams and everything else, and guys going here, guys going there, I think these players can go anywhere and it doesn't matter. Odds on favorite right now is for the Brooklyn Nets to if the big three is healthy, they got a good shot at winning.
Oh, yeah.
The one thing, I don't know how much the finals, because you're in the midst of moving and doing all your stuff, did you happen to catch okay, I want to say this properly. I'll say his first name, Giannis. His last name, I'm not even going to attempt. Antetokounmpo.
Way to go, DM.
Swedish. but he won. Anyways,
must not be.
The way he kind of threw shade on the super team, saying we didn't have to build a team. We had a team that we didn't have to go out and buy a franchise. I thought it was... a great way of going about saying we're a really good team. We didn't have to go out and buy it.
Yeah. Also, this him and James Harden have had a weird thing for years where they jab at each other all the time. And just that he beat Harden's super team without, like, I don't know, for people who follow it all on social media, they've been going at each other for quite some time now. And that was just awesome. It was really fun. That finals, I didn't get to see much of it, but what I did, I enjoyed.
The one thing that I found I'm gonna sound like a grandpa get off my lawn kind of a guy, but the one thing that was weird, we watched at the end, we didn't watch the whole bunch, we watched the final game. I found it kind of odd when Giannis had his iPhone out there and he was recording the whole thing instead of embracing the championship, embracing the time with his teammates. I get it. It's a different time, millennials and whatever. What are they calling guys who are there 25? Are they still millennials? What is it now?
The high end of Gen Z.
I really don't.
It doesn't matter. I thought it was kind of a, unless he was getting, we talked about
him. I think his parents are overseas.
He was might
his parents are overseas.
His parents were with him. The guy makes $50 million bucks a year. His parents were there.
They weren't there.
COVID, right?
That's not a thing with those guys. I found it odd that he was recording the whole thing on his phone instead of enjoying it with his teammates.
I agree with you.
Because you know what? There were TV cameras there recording the whole thing.
Yeah, those cameras are better than your iPhones.
That's right.
I thought,
hey, dude, just put your iPhone down for 20 minutes. You just won the NBA championship. You got the MVP and everything else. I thought it was kind of a childish move. That's my opinion. We're in a fourth. No one's listening anyways. But I'm just saying, I just thought that maybe, dude, unless it's a commercial coming up for Apple,
yeah,
that he's going to make another $50 million off of, I just thought that maybe put the phone away and enjoy the time with your teammates.
Well, what's more childish, him filming himself after winning the championship or us two complaining about it on a fifth-rate podcast?
Him doing it on because people will listen and chime in, and he I just thought, dude, put your phone away.
Oh, is totally.
Is that different than Ovi with the phone on, who was it, for the All-Star, last pick of the All-Star games there, what's his name then? I don't know that kid. What's his name?
Kessel.
Phil Kessel, is it different than that?
I think it's different just because the behind-the-scenes stuff when they were all having a few beers behind stage that might have went into that whole, we were doing this, then this happened, and you get the interaction afterwards. And it's the All-Star game. Dude just won the MVP of the NBA Finals, mm-hmm. and he had his phone in his pocket.
It's generational. It's just kids these days.
But
I don't even know if it's all the kids these days. Some kids these days, and he just happens to be one of them.
He's having one of them. I just found it strange that at that point, like I said, maybe I'm just grandpa get off my lawn kind of a guy, but just enjoy it while it lasts, because it, you might never get another chance to do that. And if your memory's that, yeah, I was on my phone. I was on my freaking phone when I just did all this, when it's already recorded. It's like when we go to a baseball game and some guy's recording a baseball game when the Yes Network is recording the freaking game.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, a little bit.
So I remember when Jimmy and I went 2010 Olympics, we were there and we got tickets to the Team Canada against the Germany game. And I was, you know, trying to take pictures and trying to film. And I think there was still maybe a flip phone or something. I'm not sure. But I was on my phone trying to capture every moment. And I was trying to take pictures. And I was trying to do all this stuff. And then I just kind of went, oh, you know what? Let's put everything away. Put everything away. Trying to capture the moment, but you weren't actually in the moment. So I get what you're saying 100%. And I put everything away. And boy, did we have a good time.
Because
I agree with you, Brent. I think everybody agrees that what he was doing seems like a silly thing to do. The only thing I can think of that would make it less silly is if he was kind of live streaming things over his phone for family overseas and talking to them at the same time, saying, hey, grandma, hey, mom, hey, dad.
Maybe.
Look at how
that's
great this
I
is.
Maybe that's, that might be that's it. Where my brain went first.
Yeah, so if that's
but
what he was doing,
that,
you kind of
then,
get
yeah,
it.
I would
yeah.
agree with you guys.
Maybe he was FaceTiming his family.
That's
his
what
family
I
was
think
there.
I said that in the moment. I think he's FaceTiming his mom.
That's team time.
You get this
that's
might be the only chance
time.
You get, man.
That is yeah, your team.
He also dropped 50 points and 15 rebounds in the finals game. I think he gets to have some. I did that. Right? He.
Yeah, he's going
back. He's got enough cake in his ashtray of his car to pay someone to walk around with his iPhone instead of him carrying it.
Well, yeah.
Like I don't know. I just found it strange that he was doing it. I'm sure it's happening in hockey and baseball and everywhere else. It happens. It's just different. It's like I said, grandpa, get off my lawn kind of deal. But it's just a thing. 1420 podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. Tune in how you guys feel. Make sure you guys subscribe on Apple and where else? iHeartRadio, wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure if you are on Apple and subscribe, make sure you give us a rating of 4 or 5 stars, because that allows us to stay on iTunes and Apple, and then we can keep putting it out there and see if you guys can find. The women's Olympic team did us proud here in Canada, soccer-wise. Actually, the entire Olympic team did well, but the women were out of this world throughout the Olympics. But on Friday, I think it was, when they won the gold medal in the they call it penalties, I call it a shootout. It was we talked about last night in the show with Dave, but I want to get to a different perspective with the female side of things and a young female who plays the game of soccer and get her thoughts on how it all came about, and then the players that she not idolizes or follows or however you want to word it. But just to get a different perspective of what went on Friday. McKinley, you're a soccer player. You love the game. You watch the game. How did that feel when Canada, first off, not when they won, when they were down 1-0 early in the first half? What were your thoughts, and how much were you swearing even though your mother was around?
Well, I just about fainted and threw up. I gotta say, it was very stressful, and I was very disappointed in some of the players, but We don't need to get into that right now.
No, you do, actually.
Oh, okay.
That's why we talk about
these
things.
Oh, that's why we're talking
about this? Yeah.
Well, I mainly thought that Janine Becky, the way that she played, she just didn't seem to hit the mark like she usually does. And that was very disappointing, considering it's a gold medal game.
It seemed like the pressure got to her.
Yeah, the pressure got to her, which, I mean, it happened, but also she's a professional, and she should be professional.
Well, this is exactly what you've been working for.
Like, it's... Yeah, but, I mean, doesn't mean I love her any less. I mean, she's a really... Okay, well, she's a great player. She... I think she's a very good player. Just that particular game, I lost a lot of hope.
The thing is about a game like that is that there's never been a situation where any of those athletes have been in that kind of situation to know how to prepare for a situation where they're going into something like that. Mm-hmm. It's their first time. So to be disappointed, I get it, but my God, the old butthole must be clenching a little bit when you're going into a situation like that with the whole country watching. And then you hear today what the ratings were across Canada for on a Friday morning. The unbelievable amounts of people are watching that game. And it's good. It happened summertime, Friday morning, weekend, everything else, people on vacation. That's a whole nother level of, oh my God, compared to playing in front of McGill University crowd or Whitecaps women's team. It's a whole nother level of this in the entire country. And I'm going to actually say, and people might disagree with me, get back to me if you do, that ranks up there with gold medal hockey games with what was happening on Friday morning, being because it's a first timer expected to win, want to win, and like, oh boy, now all of a sudden we're role models and not we're, this is something. I think those women were under more pressure than we know.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Well, and now they're on another level of, before, like, of course, everyone in Canada, every soccer playing female looked up to those girls, but now it's on a different level. Now that they've won, it might not just be Canada now, because we're not necessarily a soccer or football powerhouse. We're not a summer sport powerhouse.
Yeah.
So after they...
We aren't. We won 24 medals. Like, yes, in comparison to the United States.
The women's soccer team, though. Yeah.
No, but
we won bronze medal, which is a pretty good standing.
Oh, no.
I'm going to get that in a second.
I'm not saying that a bronze isn't amazing, but... Now they're the best in the world. That's the best women's soccer team in the world. They won the gold medal. That puts you on an entirely different level.
Yes.
It changes so many things. And now that, like, you're known by the whole country instead of just all the soccer fans in the country, it changes everything for even the way, just the way that
there was one, like, I'm not a soccer guy, I don't pretend to be. I was working, so I didn't get to see the game, but there's one soccer player in the world or in Canada that everyone knows. On Thursday night, Christine Sinclair.
Yeah.
Now there's a whole bunch of names now that these girls are a whole nother level. And it's fantastic. And now, and then who was the girl that said, why can't we be role models for boys as well?
Lucy Bronze. She's from Great Britain. She plays for
Manchester City,
and she is fantastic.
Right, so it's a whole nother level, and it's fantastic. 2012, they got bronze. 16 as well, they got bronze, I believe.
Yep.
There was an American thing situation.
Abby Wambach.
Now, do you think winning a bronze? Now, hear me out before you guys interrupt, because I know what you do.
Someone's got to tag Abby Wambach in that.
Do you think winning a bronze in those games helped Canadian soccer than losing and getting a silver? Because nobody follows a loser. When a team gets close, people don't care. When you win a bronze, I think it means more than losing and getting a silver.
I think it also helped having the bronze, especially in the last Olympics, where
we really should not have lost that game. There were extenuating circumstances. I think it helped fuel the fire for sure, and I think that probably more people followed because of that, because of the controversy, than maybe would have otherwise as well. And so yeah, I think you're right. I think you're totally right. Which is weird. I don't like thinking that you're right.
Kenny, like, you're a soccer player, you're 14 years old now. Where does this take soccer for girls your age or younger girls your age? Where does this take the game of soccer for females? Because when I was a kid, there was no female soccer teams. There was softball for girls across the street here. If a girl wanted to play hockey, there was one girl playing hockey, and that was it. And there was no female teams. Things have, and like, I know I'm getting old, and I'm 47 years old, but just in my lifespan, how it's changed in just the last 20 some years. Where does this take women's sports, you think, with the Bianca Andreescu winning the U.S. Open a couple of years ago, and now you got the Canadians winning, the Canadian women winning the soccer gold? Where is this going to take female athletics, in your opinion?
That's actually kind of a tough question to ask, like, 14-year-old. But I would hope that it would lead to more professional teams in Canada, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Since, like, the men's teams, they're all in pretty much the major cities, like Vancouver, there's Edmonton? Montreal,
Toronto.
And I think that's it, actually, but either way, that's three times as many as the women's team, right?
Yeah.
I feel like, just in my opinion, it's just, I don't know. I also hope that there'll be more, like, the women's games will be televised more, especially, like, the teams with the Canadian players on them. Like, I think
Christine Sinclair plays in Portland. We've never seen her play professional sports.
Yeah, soccer. I've never seen her play.
She plays on this professional team in Portland. We have no idea.
5 hours from you, where you live.
Yeah, right. But it's not televised. It's not, you know, so.
Which is, I mean, they play the MLS games on TV, and it's big contracts. But women's soccer, to me, in North America, is more of a draw, in my opinion. Like the Canadian men's team is, I couldn't name a player. I'm not a soccer guy. I'm not downplaying them. We don't know any of them, and let's leave it that way. Why doesn't TSN and Sportsnet promote the women's game more? Well, because strike that when it's hot.
Why not? Yeah,
because
why?
You know
what,
you, because now you could sell more French fries on TV. You could sell more of this on TV. All those sponsorships are there now. These girls won a gold medal. Strike it while it's hot.
For sure.
And they should go about doing that and put some money in these girls' pockets, because they deserve it. Because they probably don't make any money playing soccer.
I think it's worth also mentioning, though, that these networks that broadcast what they broadcast, it is based, like you said, on the advertising rights and what's going to draw a crowd. And what's interesting to me is that a lot of the time they make choices of what they broadcast, and the reason people are watching it is because that's what they put on. It's like the cart's actually coming before the horse. If they just play the women's soccer, people are going to watch it.
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of people, and I'm only speaking from observation, that might be Calgary or Edmonton fans, like, say, the Oilers or the Flames, because that's what's on. So if you just play it, if you build it, they will come in to a certain point.
Other than the 1420 podcast. Oh, yeah, that's another old story.
Does that make
day.
Sense? Totally, right? Like, sense. If you just air it, the audience will grow. Like,
and now with,
that's how you
and
find
say,
out if there's
and the
there's
advertisement
an
could
it.
Be Olympic gold medalist, insert name here.
Exactly.
And
Becky.
And right now, they're here. And if there's a game next week, why not? Right? Like, why not? Why not promote it and get it out there? Because no matter what you say, sports, professional sports, is about an owner making money. So why an owner in Canada right now wouldn't say we should, like, if it was the Calgary Stampeders who struggle to make money, the Regina, the Saskatchewan Roughriders, they make a little bit of money, but the major cities in Canada, why they wouldn't have a professional women's team join the WMLS, or whatever it's called, right now would be the time to do it.
That's a really good idea. You should make a call.
Write a letter.
And also, I feel like not only air the games, but also play them on the main channels, like TSN1. Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Like TSN, like,
right?
The main,
like, don't put it on TSN 8.5.
Because no one goes
there's
there,
like,
right?
There's seven people who have that channel.
Yeah, so I feel that would just probably get even more people to realize that they actually play, you know?
It's such a good game. You don't, with the men's game, there's some diving, I've heard, allegedly.
No, they dive. Game. It's kind of gross
you
to watch.
Don't
I've
see
seen
that
it firsthand.
In the women's game. You don't. And it's, anyway.
No, it's great for the country. It's great for women's sport. It was great for sport in Canada. It'd be nice to get to a point in 50 years from now where we're not saying men's and women's sports. We're just saying sport.
Yep.
We're a ways away, but we're closer than we were when me and you grew up, Elaine.
Yeah, for sure.
And so it's getting to that point. And will men and women be equal in all sports at some point? Probably not. They're just different body makeups. Women will be better at some sports. Men will be better at other sports. It's just the way it is. But we're getting to a point now where women are doing things that never happened. And the thing that I just thought about this, women have only had 40 years of trying to do this, whereas men have been doing it for hundreds of years. Does that make any sense? You know what I'm saying?
Look how far we've come.
And look how far women have come in 40 years that I've been watching sports, that they've been, how much they've improved, where men have kind of flatlined a little bit, I guess you could say, that this is, I mean, men, like, the athletes of today are better than they were 20 years ago. But women went from zero to where they are now, whereas men have gained only 40%. Does that make any sense?
That's an interesting take.
I like
you're
take.
Right, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
observed for a very long time.
I'm very
time
progressive
and
very smart here in the 1420 podcast.
So woke.
So I'm,
you guys are doing it wrong.
I'm woke, apparently. I'm
look
woke.
Look at you. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm super
so
impressed.
Every once in a while, you turn 47 and the brain turns on, I guess. But anyways.
That can't be it.
Something happened. I must have read something somewhere. I don't know. No, that's a Relinsky original. Anyways, 1420 podcast. Thank you, McKinley, for your insight. Good luck in the upcoming school year. Hopefully you get back to the soccer field very soon. And following those girls' footsteps, because, man, it was great. That brought a tear to my eye when there was the old Canada stuff was happening. It was great for the country, and it was great for girls across the country. August 8th, 1988, Brent Radlinski and Margaret Radlinski were in Windsor, Ontario, where the little team that could was trying to win a national championship and go to the Little League World Series. We didn't fare as well as we hoped that tournament, but the 9th of August we beat some team from BC, Langley I think it was, all those years ago, and we were sitting around the pool having a good time after the game. The Windsor coach, he came to the pool and he said, "Hey, you Alberta boys must be a little upset." And we were like, "Well, why would we be upset? We just won a baseball game at the Canadian Little League Championships. We're well on our way to going to the World Series." He said that they traded Wayne Gretzky. And in my 13-year-old or 14-year-old voice, I pleasantly told that guy to find something to do with his hat. Margaret wasn't too impressed with what I said, but I said it. But anyways, today, 33 years ago, the great one, Wayne Gretzky, was traded from the Edmonton Oilers to the Los Angeles Kings. In something that hasn't been done before, was never done before, and hasn't been done since, in my opinion, and I don't think it's going to ever happen again. Free agency has changed the game, where older players, like we talked about Steph Curry, could have signed different contracts somewhere else. I don't think that we'll ever see a player of that stature. Well, there's never going to be a player of that stature, for one, but I don't think you're going to see a player like that be traded again. Jim, is there a player today in, let's just start with the National Hockey League, that would be comparable if he were traded?
No, because people leave anyways and people request and demand trades. It's never going to be the same. People don't stay to one team. So someone getting traded is going to be, "Oh, that's cool," but you're not surprised he got traded. You're curious as to where. That's what the bigger thing is where'd he go, not he went.
Do you see, like, if, let's just say, if like Ovechkin, he re-upped and he's going to stay in Washington till the end of his career. I think he signed for 5 more years at another $40 million, whatever it is. If a Sidney Crosby, I just thought this, we talked about a few guys off air, and I just, if a Crosby for whatever reason next offseason, because he's good for another, I think, 3 or 4 years in his contract, and the kid's not the kid anymore, is he going to be a cup chaser, or is that possible that Sidney Crosby ends up getting traded? Does he say, Well, I'm not part of a rebuild. I was born in 87, so it would make him, what, 34 now. Four more years, he's 38. Does he, say, look for a trade? And would there be the same ripple effect that happened with the Gretzky trade if Sidney Crosby was traded?
No, there would be nowhere near the same ripple.
None.
No. You know what occurred to me just this minute, and I'm not a baseball fan? Right, like, yeah. I don't know. Like, I watched the Blue Jays when they're winning stuff, right?
Which is rare.
Wasn't there something in the history of Babe Ruth that wasn't there a big move with him that?
Ruth wasn't a big deal. He became a bigger deal in his third or fourth year with the Yankees. He became a Yankee.
So he wasn't as big then. Okay.
Like the thing with Gretzky is that he was in his prime when he went. Like, he had a lot of – he never won another cup because the teams he went to weren't as good. Those Oilers teams, if Gretzky sticks around, they probably – well, they won one in New York with the Rangers, right? It was all the ex-Oilers that won that Stanley Cup.
There was a lot more to the Gretzky trade, too, than there is now.
Pocklington was broke and everything else. And Was it Maple Leaf Foods or Gainers?
Right. Teams aren't run the way Pocklington ran his team. Aren't run like that anymore. Also, you know, there was that little Janet girl that... Yeah. There was that little Janet girl that maybe people thought, well, she didn't want to live in Edmonton because she had her acting career. And so there was that controversy in it, too. And I don't know that is really, I mean, that was a big part of the trade as well.
Like the
controversy.
I think a big difference now is salary caps. So now, until
your stars can't go anywhere now,
or they can't go, or if they can't play, you can't keep them. You can't pay somebody to not, you know, the big money and keep them around. You force them to retire, or you trade them.
You would have to do star for star nowadays to make the cap work. Whereas Gretzky, you can't. The thing about the Gretzky trade that made it so remarkable is that he was by far the best player in the world, in his sport, for any sport. Like, Jordan wasn't where he was at that point. There was nobody else like Gretzky dominating the sport that he was involved in. And for him to be, and there's a great 30 for 30 about it, how he was just, he had to agree to it. He says, yeah, screw it, trade me. I'm out. If he doesn't want me, if this is how it's going to go. And that's how it all actually came about. I can't see something like that ever, and there won't be an icon like that to go to that situation where it would ever happen again.
Another reason why he was traded was to grow the sport in California.
Didn't hurt it.
And Gretzky kept hockey in California.
Yeah, and you look at junior hockey teams now, and even pro teams now. How all those guys that had kids that played in the NHL, the Cortinals, their kids are now in minor pro that played in California. All these guys that got spots on. Gretzky, he changed the game. I don't think there's an athlete that has done that in any other sport where it grew the game, because basketball was big no matter where it was down in the States. Football was big no matter where it was. Baseball was big no matter where it was. Hockey wasn't anything in the southern states. And now you look at it now, Tampa Bay, players want to go there because of the Gretzky trade. The Sun Belt states became Gretzky like that because of it. It's, I don't think it'll ever happen again where you're going to see a guy make where deals happen like that. Like, there isn't going to be another Gretzky, obviously. And because of free agency, I don't think it can happen. Who's a guy right now that would be close?
Well, similar in the sense that the whole world paid attention, right? Yeah. Like, that's the thing with Gretzky when he got traded. It's not just that he was so big and all that, but it's that it wasn't just people on his team or the other team that paid attention to this trade, or people kind of went, oh boy, every single person in Canada, whether you even liked hockey or not, went, whoa, what did you hear about that? That's unbelievable. This, right? So that's one thing. And so to a certain extent, LeBron, when he was doing his, where is he going to take his talents to Miami. And all that, to Miami.
But the thing is, right? that's free agency. No, that's not a trade.
I know, and I know. Right. I'm just saying as far as somebody's moving teams or that being a story that transcended the game to some extent. Right, the way that the Gretzky trade did. That's all I'm saying. Not that everybody's going, he would never be traded or anything, but just that somebody, that the
it
fact,
changes the game.
Fact of somebody moving that.
Well, and that it changes the league so much.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, it changed, like, LeBron going to Miami changed the league. Gretzky being traded to LA changed the league.
That's right.
All that, it changes everything. So that's probably a closer thing. But that happens every year in the NBA. In hockey, that happens more often than it did when it happened with Gretzky. So
could you let's make the argument. Connor McDavid right now is by far, and it's not I know he's overrated and you hear too much about him in Edmonton. If you watch Oilers games and you McDavid this, McDavid that, but I don't think there's an argument that he's the best player in the world right now.
No, he is.
I don't think there's an argument. It's
well, if he isn't, then who is?
Yeah, who's better? If he were to get traded tomorrow, we'd be like, holy cow.
Yeah, I would.
But there wouldn't be a 30 for 30 about it.
Mm-mm.
No.
20 years down the road. There would be a hockey deal or a money deal or what. It would be a money deal or whatever. But that owner's got so much money with St. Kate's in Edmonton.
Yeah.
So it isn't happening. If McDavid gets butt sore about how bad his team is, they'll throw him another $3 million and they'll make it work. Right?
Teams can't stay together the way they used to be able to stay together, so somebody leaving a team, regardless of the caliber, is not surprising anymore. Your team's entire roster turns over every 3-4 years, it seems like, anyway. Who was it, LeBron? We heard LeBron was the longest serving.
LeBron James is the most tenured player on the LA Lakers right now. He's been there for 3 years.
Free agency changed the game.
Right, so that's one thing that's just...
And salary caps.
It's never... You're never going to get another thing like this because it's changed so much with free agency, salary cap, all that. Nobody stays. No one's ever going to stay because you could go there, make more money, and have a better shot at winning a championship. You could go there, make more money, have the same shot at winning a championship.
And
you
that's
go
the
there
one,
and play with the guy that you want to play with.
That's one thing I don't mind about sports today is that these guys, they're not chasing dollars because a lot of them, they all make so much money. I mean, it's ridiculous amount of money. When Gretzky got traded, I think he was making $1 million a year. I'd take it, absolutely.
What was he living back then?
I mean, gas wasn't $1.47 a liter.
Gas was 38 cents a liter.
Right, so, I mean, I'm sure Gretzky wasn't paying for his gas. He's probably, but you know, but I guys nowadays, the superstars, they chase championships, not dollars. Because they're all making enough money that their families they're going to be okay. Especially the high end guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Your mid range guys like Zach Hyman. He was not staying in Toronto and taking the hometown discount because he can set his generations of his family up for life by taking an $8.5 million contract in Edmonton that he wasn't going to get in Toronto. So the mid-range guys, I get it. They're taking money, but your superstars...
The superstars' money is not a worry. It's not a problem.
Small technical issue here at the homeland. I'm not exactly sure where I was. My little rant about the way things are. But like I was saying, it's great to see superstars chase championships and not just stick around and make money because these guys are set for lives. They're kids are set for lives.
But to
win a championship seems more important nowadays, I think.
Well, but I also, I hate the ring chasers. I find it, win with the team you're at. Because that was the whole thing, is that's how you define how great you were, is how many rings you got. Well, if you're going and pairing with the three best players in the league, what does a ring mean? It doesn't...
What about Corey Perry? Corey Perry signed with Tampa 2 years. Corey Perry went
See, I don't
Dallas.
Mind that. I don't mind the
well,
NHL guys.
Well, that's because
guys.
You like, hate Corey Perry.
I got a whole new respect for Corey Perry when he went to Montreal.
I love that.
Yeah, I got a whole new respect for him.
He was trying to find someone who wanted him, right? Like, it's not like... It's not
I don't
like,
know why anybody wouldn't want that guy.
Yeah.
No, I got
He's
to...
He's my fave.
I would rather see a dynasty, obviously. Like, I think that's, like, to me, when you can put a team together and they can win for a few years in a row, and like Tampa's doing, and like the Yankees used to do before they sucked. But like the Belichick years with New England, these dynasties, I think it's unbelievable how there's somebody with a mindset that can put it together and say, we need this guy, and they can just plug players in to make it work. It's pretty astonishing how that works. I think it's great. But for an older guy like Corey Perry to chase a championship, I think it's good.
Everything okay, Joe?
Yep. Yeah, it's good. Just,
I think good. It's really good too. I just think that I don't even know. I just think that he is an amazing player. What he did in Dallas, and then what he did in Montreal, and I don't know what he's hoping for in Tampa, because Tampa's not going to win again.
They will. They're winning again.
Next year?
They're winning again.
They'll find a way.
They won't lose for 3 or 4 years.
Awesome. Well, yeah. Then good for Corey Perry.
No, he might get.
And for him, it's not that he said, I'm out of here, Anaheim. I'm going cup chasing.
They cut ties.
They said, yeah, we're done with you. We don't think you're any good anymore. No, you're not part of our vision anymore.
Team construction is so odd. That GMs, like these Barstool GMs, sometimes do a better job than the actual GM does. I don't understand why owners, and I get it's money, but when you win, people go to your games and you'll make more money. I don't understand why GMs give up on teams so quickly and say, we're not doing this. Ownership says, we're not spending another $1 million on this player when you might get a chance to win something. Mm-hmm. But spending money not winning, like the Vancouver Canucks, is dumb. Or spending money and not winning, like the Toronto Maple Leafs, is also dumb. There's two ways of going about it. Like the Canucks not winning for years and years and years, they set themselves back how long by being mediocre.
Yeah. They haven't had a good draft pick. A top three draft picks since, I don't know, I can't recall the last
Pettersson.
Time. He wasn't top three. Well,
no, right? He wasn't top three, and he had one good year.
Vancouver's in a big heap of trouble now, because now they got the players who are on their roster who are the best players on their roster who want to get paid. But those guys played somewhere else, what would they make? Oh, so yeah. Vancouver's in a heap of trouble now. Because now you got guys who are the best on their team who expect to be paid like the best on their team, but they're not that good.
Mm-hmm.
And the Vancouver Canucks are not winning Stanley Cup in the next 5 years.
There's some players on the Vancouver Canucks that are really actually quite good players. And I think a lot of other teams would pick them up. But they would be fantastic second line players rather than first line players, you know. Well, I don't even know, but you look at somebody. Well, I mean, JT Miller was an absolute beast this year. He was a beast this whole year.
But the second he gets a chance to get out, he's leaving.
He's certainly played such a leader role on the team, on the ice. It's unbelievable. I don't know. He seems to have bought into the culture. He seems to have bought into things. It's hard to say, but you've got the fact that their top players, in many cases, are not first line players on many teams.
They're
in the
just
league.
Not, yeah, makes they're it, flat out just not. They're just not good enough. They're a long ways away from winning. Anyways, Gretzky trade. It happened 33 years ago tonight. I was in Windsor, Ontario, with my mother. It was a weird day. I think there's still some newspaper clipping kicking around the house in some old box we made in shop class back then. But anyways. I didn't believe it. I still, you wonder how that could happen, and it'll never happen again because there won't be a player as dumb as Gretzky. 1420 Podcast. Leave us a note on our Facebook account, Twitter accounts. Drop us an email at 1420sports@gmail.com. 1420 Sports, for Beer with Sports Talk and a whole lot more. Sports Podcast. Usually sitting around having a few beers with Dave by Zoom. We're coming up on our 1 year anniversary of the show. next week, I guess, is when it's coming through. Something's come last couple months is we start talking about music for some reason. Sports and music go hand in hand, I guess. There's been some bad tunes associated with sports, some great tunes associated with sports, tunes that aren't associated with sports. The 1980s to me is the greatest era of music in my lifetime. I've been four decades plus now. But lately, for some unknown reason, the 80s have kind of taken a downhill turn for me, and I'm not sure why. Elaine, as I sit across from you at the table here at Mom and Dad's house, there's a song, I don't know what you like, or if you like it or don't like it. I want your opinion on it. I've always hated this song, but I've only started to voice my opinion about it in the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins may be the worst song in the history of music.
I don't understand anybody who listens to Phil Collins.
I love it.
I don't understand it. I don't like it.
This was not scripted, by the way.
I don't think that, he's not a good guy. I don't know. I've never met him, but I just, yeah.
He looks like a real piece of crap, I'm not going to lie.
In the Air Tonight
I've heard he's a really nice person.
Doubt it. Well, come on.
Has anybody ever said, oh, good, Susudio's on the radio? Ever. Is there a single person in the world?
Turn that one up. Susudio, turn it up.
Phil Collins is fantastic.
You're...
As is Genesis.
This is mind-blowing to me because this is not scripted. Trust me.
You're dating.
Everything they've been saying is what I've been thinking in my head for the last 25 years.
It's almost like we're related.
Susudio. What is a Susudio? I don't understand it. Phil Collins. I've never been a... I don't get it.
I actually really like In the Air Tonight, but I don't like Phil Collins.
See, the thing about the story, that it's a misconstrued story.
It was a filler word, and then it stuck.
Susudio or In the Air Tonight?
Susudio.
In the Air Tonight is just like, it's people just are just wrong about it.
He
stutters while he sings it, but the word is studio.
That doesn't help, though. It's still a terrible song.
Yeah.
The song's fun. The word doesn't make any sense.
It's not fun at all. It's weird.
The lyrics weren't the problem.
Yeah.
You're the one person who kept requesting that song that we had to listen to.
It's me. I'm the one who made it a millionaire.
Thanks, Deanne.
Way to go, Deanne.
Only I kept all of that money for myself.
Honestly, you should get a cut. We'll call Phil.
You and Phil are the only ones that ever listen to that song.
And even he's tired of it.
Anyway.
If there is a Phil Collins concert, is he playing Susudio?
Yeah.
Of course. I'd go. One of the number one songs that he would play.
I know, Mom.
Take me
Maybe.
Home.
So that would be a good ending of a Phil Collins concert. Me Home. Yeah. I don't mind that one. That's not a bad one. You get into the hair metal stage, that was bad stuff too. There's some that you just go, what the heck were we thinking? Elaine, is there, or Craig, you were not a hair metal guy. You used to have a full head of hair. You still have a pretty thick full head of hair there on your coconut. But when I first met you, had really long hair. It wasn't for the hair metal. But was there a hair metal song that you and your buddies listened to back in the day?
Oh. Well, I mean... Geez, I'm trying to think of the eras. I mean, certainly there was some, I don't know if it qualifies, but, you know, like Take Me Down to Paradise City or things like that. But I remember being in grade 8 listening to Come On, Feel the Noise.
Oh,
well, that's your jam.
That was the good stuff, but that was before I had long hair.
Kevin Dubrow, Quiet Riot, Come On, Feel the Noise. That was some good stuff from the album Metal Health, about 1984. I think it was 83, 84-ish. Right around that era. 83, 84. That was good stuff. McKinley.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like Madonna? I know we talked about this before on the show.
We talk about Madonna a lot.
Have you been listening to Madonna at all lately?
No.
Still not, hey?
No, I've heard, good. I only know one song by her.
What is it?
Wait, is it like Material Girl or whatever?
What's
is that
her worst song to judge her by?
Well,
what? But it's also ironic. Like, it's a tongue-in-cheek.
That's the... only song that anyone
that woman should
Madonna.
Have kept her tongue in her cheek and
nobody
her hear
I feel
her.
Like Deanne's gonna be the only Madonna. One disagreeing with us this whole segment.
I
like,
think he deliberately picks stuff that he knows that him and I don't and they're gonna back me up.
There's a couple, yeah,
Like, we agree on plenty of songs, but you're only bringing up the ones that I don't.
You don't love Madonna McKinley.
I don't like Madonna. Like, I don't like her.
Elaine, you saw Madonna in concert, did you not?
So if you don't like her, you don't love her either.
No.
Well, but
she's not like, I don't, it's not that I hate her. Like, I don't know her.
You don't anything
she's
her.
Not your, I don't, she's just not my jam.
She's dead to her.
Yeah. See, now that's the way to be like, meh, I don't get it. You're just very passionately about your dislike for a couple.
I saw Madonna in concert.
That would be amazing.
It was excellent.
Like, it would probably be a good concert, right?
But it was excellent. Like, it was excellent.
I just don't care for
what
it.
What year?
I was pregnant with McKinley, actually, so 2001.
Oh, that would have been a good one.
And
you were not pregnant.
That was just
McKinley
as she was tapering off.
I was not.
What year were you born? Which one are you?
He was born 2001.
2001. I was 2001.
Yeah, I was pregnant with McKinley. What year was I pregnant with you?
2007.
2006. So I saw it 2006, 2007. It's been nice. Oh my god. It's been a long life. I drank a lot.
This life or this day?
Yeah.
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
You look back on some of this stuff and it's entertaining for a little bit, but there's bands like what was that? Kaja Goo Goo, Too Shy, terrible song.
Hush, Too Bye. That's a terrible song.
What about
Spandau Ballet? True.
Oh, I don't
know. Not good.
Wedding Singer made it better.
Great song. A great song. Canadian. The Spoons. What was that one? In the
Romantic Traffic.
That's not a good song.
What?
No,
tap our toe to it because we're Canadian and we're supposed to. We hear it on the CKUAs of the world. But
1090 Check.
1090 Check and 102.1 CJCY or CJOC in Lethbridge. Those aren't very good songs. And you got to admire that those stations exist so those people are still getting residuals. Because those were the Canadian stuff that we were actually forced to listen to on the radio because of CRTC regulations. They aren't very good.
I feel about that song the way you feel about Glass Tiger.
Oh, my God.
I like Glass Tiger.
We've heard Glass Tiger enough. We don't need to hear them anymore. That's enough. There are so many more Canadian bands that can be heard.
This agrees way more entertaining.
As opposed to Glass Tiger. Like, come on. And the guy's actually not Canadian.
Alan Frew?
Yeah.
He's not Canadian?
No, he's Scottish. He's from Scotland.
All right.
I didn't
know that.
Let's give it a goog.
I thought he was from Toronto.
Everybody's from Toronto.
Deanne says she's from Toronto, too.
I am from Toronto. Don't get me started on this.
I don't know. I think and then Gowan.
I like Gowan.
But I don't need to hear Strange Animal anymore either.
No,
that's
like a
nobody
little bit
that
less.
Was never a good song ever.
So why are we?
I
want to
hear Strange Animal just a little bit less than I did, but not
he
not
wasn't
at
even
all.
Born in Canada.
Really, you want to hear it? Sometimes?
What about the rest of the band?
Well,
is the majority of the band from Canada?
Let's do a like last night on the show we did a Who Is Better just name edition. Let's do a Who Is Better Canadian quasi rock band edition. Okay. You guys can chime in a little bit.
I got one. Who's better, Glass Tiger or Glass Monkey?
Who's Glass Monkey?
The song.
Glass
by
Monkey.
The song.
By
I was just doing names.
Is it Beastie Boys?
That's Brass Monkey.
Oh, you're right.
With a B.
That's right. Not
come
Glass
on.
Monkey.
I was going to go bands or artists. Who is better, Corey Hart or Kim Mitchell?
Kim Mitchell.
And
go for soda.
Black.
Might as well go for soda.
I wear my sunglasses at night.
And Never Surrender was Corey Hart.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's
and
it,
that,
one too.
That's a really a good comparison because there's only two really big hits from each one. Like, that are big.
Yeah.
Because Kim Mitchell was Paddle Lanterns and Gopher Soda.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good song. Gopher Soda.
Love it. I love Gopher Soda.
I am a wild party.
I would, if Kim Mitchell came to a establishment or a theater near you in whatever town I was in, I would go see Kim Mitchell.
He actually plays at the racetrack in Campbell River quite a bit.
That's a bummer.
Let's go to different but heavily popular. Who is better, Canadian edition, Bryan Adams or Alanis Morissette?
Bryan Adams.
Bryan Adams.
I'd run Alanis Morissette over with my band.
Not even close, eh?
Oh,
no.
Oh, I agree. I'm just...
I would like Alanis versus Sarah McLachlan would be a better...
Yeah.
Who is better, Alanis or Sarah McLachlan? The barbecue.
I don't know. I might go Alanis.
Why did... No. You were like, this will be a good one, and now you're taking the
barbecue. That one's... Yeah. Neither are very good.
Mm.
to you.
Alanis is a very angry person.
Yeah.
She had one angry album.
She doesn't scream the happiness of Canadiana.
The four albums that came after that one were very peaceful and serene and very good.
We don't like peaceful and serene.
No, angry's better than apparently.
I didn't say angry
well,
either.
Then.
No, just smiling and having a drink.
You want to have a wild party? You gotta find a medium. Go for a soda. That's what we want to do.
It's just a different time.
In the summer of 69.
Who else? Who is better? Chilliwack or Trooper?
Chilliwack.
Is Chilliwack not one of those bands that when their songs play, you're like, yeah, I forgot this was them too.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
The way April Wine is.
Yeah.
I have
like,
to go.
Oh,
yeah, I'm taking Chilliwack
like
here.
Trooper, and I like Trooper, and they've come and they played and they're all live on the island with us there, right? And they're
one of them diabetic.
The master of the Stratocaster.
Was it Chilliwack one of the bands that played
Paper Wine
and 38 Special
Balls.
Without a concert?
I can't
remember. Or was it just the two?
I think it was just the two.
Okay. Because we've seen Trooper, and that was a delightful time.
Trooper's great.
Trooper's
they're both,
from the
they're both great.
Whole life
they're both
I've
great.
Seen them.
I think if you haven't seen Trooper, you got to check your passport.
Yeah.
Your Canadian card.
Yeah.
No matter what, you've seen Trooper.
Right, like,
I think Beach Fest down at Parksville Beach during one night when we still remember when we used to do the Sandcastles. Remember
Trooper's the kind of band that like that maybe the singer just goes from town to town and then he just has people who play his music because
I think they're all from Nanaimo
because they play everywhere in a weekend in Saskatchewan.
Yeah. Well,
how many times do you think that guy's gone into a bar and someone's covering a Trooper song?
Yeah, all probably. The time.
That's
and he's
so fun.
How many times
fun.
Do you think you would go up and sing it with him?
Like,
if you're a fun person, I think you should do that.
You would now and then at least.
You would be kind of a little bit of a jerk if you were just like, oh.
All the time, you just show up to bars. You're like, I'm gonna make this better.
Yeah,
the lead singer for Trooper is better than having a job.
Yes.
Like he's probably not rich, but he's getting residuals because they're on the radio all the time. Everything
but
else.
That's
and
your
they,
job.
And they play weekend
play
gigs or whatever. And
that'd be an
there
awesome
might
job.
Be a festival that they make $2,000 on or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's better than having a job.
They're doing all right. So
isn't it like it's?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Craig, give me a who is better Canadian edition if you can think of something. Name one band and all, or Elaine, you name a band. We'll do who is better. I'm putting you guys in a spot here a little bit, but this is
geez,
fun.
Jeez, Louise.
Just any band.
Oh, I got one.
Okay.
Parachute Club.
Or Helix.
Parachute Band or Helix.
Parachute Club.
Parachute Club. That was Rise Up, wasn't
rise
it?
Rise Up.
They were both one-hit wonders. Helix had some that weren't hits, but they were on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
I think I saw Helix in 87. Give me an R! They played it for 3 hours straight. I'm gonna go with Helix just in my world. Helix.
At the baseball game yesterday, the reason why that jumped out is there was a guy wearing a Helix "Ain't No Rest for the Wicked" shirt.
There you go. It's always astonishing that the songs that come on the radio and most of them like from the '80s they bring a smile to your face of places things you were doing or places you were. The Gretzky trade happened in '88 and just all the music how that sports go hand in hand. One song in the 80s that you absolutely hate. Go around the table.
Don't look at me first. I'm thinking. I had a Would You Rather.
Strange Animal.
Strange Animal.
Yeah.
Is that worse? Okay, what is worse? Strange Animal or Don't Forget When I'm Gone?
Oh.
Which one do you hate more?
Do they have to be Canadian?
Yes.
They are both the worst songs in the world. Tied.
This isn't Ty Goes to the Runner.
Ty Goes to the Runner.
There's no such thing.
I'm running away from those songs. They're awful. Both of them are awful.
I'll never forget that morning we were going to New York City and we stopped at Pearson on the way through. Obviously, because my arms were tired from flying so much. That's funny. Anyways, and we got through customs and Don't Forget Where I Was Going was playing on the radio in the terminal. And Elaine swore at the radio, she says, can someone turn this fucking song off? There's got to be another song in Canada we can play. Anyways, it was quite funny. Jim, you got a song that you just can't take anymore on the radio?
I'm on the same boat here. Like, same as you. Like, Glass Tiger fucking ruins me.
That's it.
Grouser.
Deanne, your family's a big Glass Tiger. They quite like Glass Tiger, eh? Animal Heart or
whatever. Oh, that's my jam. I love that song. But I did think of,
And I really, really like the Guess Who, but Running Back to Saskatoon is awful. I hate that song a lot.
Yeah, it's not a very good song.
That's so funny.
Grandma's loving it.
The harmonies aren't very good. The lyrics are even worse. It's like the guy just picked up a...
And started like
singing and rambling about God.
That's the definition of like the conversations that make me want to rip my ears off.
That song is so obviously a filler song. You're like, oh, we're one song short on the record, and he's like, all right, I got this.
Down a medicine hat. Awesome song.
Way to go, man.
Yeah, put this on the album.
Yeah, I want to hear this song forever.
And I like the Guess Who a lot, but that one's hard no.
Gregor, you got one?
There was Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark had one where it was like, they can only do harm or whatever that.
You're a big Yellow fan.
Wasn't OMD Canadian?
No.
I can't even believe that.
They're from Chelsea.
Oh. Now you can't go with Susudio either, hey?
Nope, because he's from Chelsea.
British, isn't he?
He's probably from Toronto.
Pick a Canadian song.
A Canadian song that I hate? I can't even think of. I
just love Canada so much.
I just love Canada so much. Exactly. Exactly. I would say Moonlight Desires. Maybe that.
Oh, yeah. Gowan again. Yeah. Gowan.
See? Like that one, too.
You're weird. What's yours, Brett?
There's so many that I can't stand.
Isn't
Leonard Cohen Canadian?
Yeah.
Anything. Okay, you guys are more artsy than I am. Anytime that man opens his yap.
You know one song.
I don't care. It's my show, so I can say whatever I want. anytime Leonard Cohen opens his mouth to music, he should be punched in the face.
He's passed away now.
Whatever. I don't care. Still my show. I think that isn't art. I think it's some guy who was given a platform for some unknown reason, and it's not entertaining to me. I thought it was gross misrepresentation of entertainment.
I'm somewhat with you there. I don't. Hallelujah.
It's not fun.
It's not entertainment. It's poetry. It's supposed to be introspective.
Hoppy and Dumpty Sat on the Wall is more poetry than that shit.
Poetry is dumb.
Oh my God.
Hoppy and Dumpty Sat on the Wall is better than that shit. I was never. That's my. Okay.
He wrote Help, didn't he write Help?
We got a little deep.
Yeah, he wrote Hallelujah.
Got a little deep.
He wrote Hallelujah.
For Family
that's the
Edition
one he hates. That's the only song he wrote.
I can't stand any of it. I can't.
When Katie Lang sang Hallelujah at the closing ceremonies of the 2010 Olympics.
Did I say Katie Lang? I never say Katie Lang. I said Leonard Cohen wrote. I don't care.
Hallelujah.
I don't care.
But when
I don't like that song.
Feelings singing. Are not a thing.
You don't love his singing, but.
Well, okay. you
That's
can
fair.
Say,
I don't
I
like that song.
That
I don't really
Bob
like
Dylan
Hallelujah.
Like Bob Dylan has a hard time carrying
I see no sense in Hallelujah. But anything that Katie Lang sang
on the Would You Rather,
was,
I was gonna say was
she was an artist.
Well, Katie Lang is from another planet. She's so good.
She's actually from Alberta, which is kind of the same thing.
She's from High River.
Oh,
just up the road.
Dag nab.
So that's my thought. I got a little bit angry there, and I apologize for a Family Just 1420 podcast.
Walk it off.
Walk it off. Deanne came
a little dirt on it.
Deanne came
okay.
up with this walk off home run question. Who is better, the Tragically Hip or
what?
Blue Rodeo?
The Hip.
The Hip. I love Blue Rodeo.
Blue Rodeo is amazing. I don't know. That's a tough one
love
for me.
Love me, Blue Rodeo.
I love them both. Yeah, I.
But my heart's with the Hip. I love the Tragically Hip.
I think if one of those guys from Blue Rodeo had just died, maybe we'd go with Blue Rodeo. But
that's my thought too. Right? If
Jim Cuddy died, I would take time off.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I was pretty upset about Gord Downie.
We had an international student staying with us from Rome. Sarah. She was from Rome, and she was our just this most wonderful person that from our lives, and she was here when Gord died. And it was kind of a neat thing because it was part of the experience for her to come over and feel what it's like to be a Canadian, and that was why she was here. And when he died, we were just every single radio station, every single everybody was just sad.
Yeah. Everybody was just sad, and she
even non-hip fans
and
felt
she
that,
and
yeah.
she and it was raining and it was just dark, you know, and she got to feel that, and I said to her, you know, this is kind of what it's like to be a Canadian right now. It's kind of, you know, sad. That and she loved them, and I felt bad. She goes, my dad would really like these. And I'm like, oh, don't you really like them? She goes, can I have these for my dad? Records and stuff. But yeah, no, I think the Tragically Hip left quite a big impression on this country. I think Blue Rodeo does too, but I think that the Hip's reach was greater.
Greater, yeah.
Very well said.
Well, and
I think it's a generational thing too.
If Gord Downie wouldn't have had the brain cancer, and we wouldn't have had 2 years of absolutely being
a love fest
for him, and inundated. If you had that catalog of Blue Rodeo going through with that same sort of love fest happening, how would we feel now? Yeah. Maybe.
No,
because they've got a lot to.
Musically speaking, without any of the nostalgia or the backstory, I still would go with Blue Rodeo, song for song.
Yeah, I'm a Hip fan.
That's just me.
What does Blue Rodeo and Brent Rudlinski have in common?
What?
They both started the Empress Theater. Anyways, 1420 podcast. 1420 podcast. Four Beer with Sports Talk and a whole lot more. Thank you very much, family, for joining. It's been great seeing you guys again. You're heading back to the island tomorrow. Safe travels. We'll be out that way shortly as well. COVID's not over, folks, so you still please take care. There's still some stuff going out there. If you're going traveling, do what you're supposed to do. Get vaccinated. It's very simple. Doesn't even hurt. I did it.
Get your poke.
And I'm a wimp. 1420 Sports Podcast. Four Beer with Sports Talking a whole lot more. Take care of each other, but more importantly, take care of yourself. Jim, keep your stick on the ice, and what else?
Dave, don't be swinging at high pitches while I'm in Alberta, please.
There you go. Have a good night, folks. We'll talk again on Tuesday.